might mean moving, dropping a few slides. So what I'm going to talk about now is basically how you're going to kickstart yourself into running LCFG when you get back to your own base. So if you're going to be just running the LCFG core, and this is what we probably would expect most people to be doing, just to start experimenting with managing certain aspects of your machine, then all you need is the LCFG core, core packages, and some base headers, a profile server, which you've got in the VM player image, and that's all on the LCFG DVD that you've been given today. To run a fully managed prescriptive site, you would need all of the above, plus an RPM repository for update RPMs, plus a set of package lists for whichever platform you're going to run, and the install route. And I believe there's a snapshot of all that, apart from the base if Fedora packages. Is that right, Stephen? Is everything on the DVD? Everything else is on the DVD. Right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a real site. I'm going to show you my home site because it's probably quite simplistic compared to, and it's probably typical of how you would manage a home site, a small site. And then I'm going to give you basically what a plan would be to get yourself going for that bit, and then a very quick plan for the prescriptive site. So a tour around my network, a very, very, very quick tour. So this is on my home machine, and you can see it's a machine at scobies.org.uk. Now, the header data, you've been using var LCFG conf server as the header path. I think the reason you were using that today is because that's probably what was in the documentation. In reality, different sites put their header data in different locations. So my personal belief is machine configuration data lives in slash etc. Other people believe that machine configuration data lives in slash var. So it's my home network, I can do what I like. And of course it's all configured via LCFG resources, so that's no big deal. So I've got a few things here. So I've got include directory for all my headers, and that includes, if you look, that's the options file we saw earlier, all the different hardware types that we currently have support for, and all the components defaults files that you had a look at earlier on, and I've also got someone asked in the break where packages come from, how do you specify packages, and they come in package lists, so there's a big bunch of set of packages there. They get included and munged together, in effect, in a configurable way, to build up the set of RPMs. So if I looked for, there's a big bunch of package lists there. There's the a package list describing the base set of Fedora packages. Not all the ones. Is that all the ones in extra, Stephen, or is it just the ones that we've decided to pull down? Oh, it's not the same. It's not the same as extras.
No.
Okay. The RPMs that build up the install base, the ones that do build up the install route. The added packages that are for LCFG. That's the LCFG core. And FC6 updates. Anyway, that's... and I've also got some profiles for machines. So what I'm going to show you is the way my home network I'm actually probably showing you this about round it wrong, but wrong way about. When you're using a prescriptive managed platform, there's an important file called defaults.h for your domain, which basically sets some core values that are macros that are then used in headers later down, like your domain. People, please don't write down my root password. It's md5 summed. My repository, my LCFG server. I've got a temporary name for my gateway. My NTP server, what local partitions should be called, things like what's the minimum root size I want in my file system, and things like that. And then it pulls in. Unfortunately, I'm using JMax rather than Xile, which is a bit of a pity, because it less. It then pulls in. This is part of the layering model. It then pulls in the LCFG layer defaults.h, and that will then pull in all the components relevant to the platform you're running, using some macros that you might define earlier on. And this is a pretty simplistic network. I use AMD and NFS, so I, rather than using LDAP or anything like that, I just put my my AutoMounter entries and create them using the file component. Similarly, partitions. Well, yeah, file component's quite useful for doing that. So it's created that way. And then I've got my users. It's a very simple network. I've only got a few users. LDAP would be a bit overkill. So I can just use the auth component, add in all the users and their passwords. And group entries and things like that. So it's actually not a GNOR divine that's dead. Very simple DNS resources. File component set up some manifest, some links to my package repository. And that's almost all there is. Some stuff which has been disabled and I should have pulled out. And then there's things like packages which are just for my domain. So that for FC3 I pull in my package list, and for FC5 I pull in my FC5 list, and I also remove international RPMs. So that's a simple. Also, I define my repository there. So if I go further up, so a it's not a very simple machine, but it's that's my main server, and pulls in pretty simple options, like it's a web server, it runs rsync to share configuration data around the place. It's an LCFG server, it's a DNS server, it's a DHCP server, an NTP server, and a lot of these come from the LCFG level, and you can pick them up. And then, because you're using Scobie, what you can do is you call Scobie's headers, these, or whatever your domain's called, and that will then call include the LCFG layer. So you'd include the LCFG layer version, and then add in any local settings. I'll quickly show that. Very, very quickly show that. So if I show the LCFG server, well, that's not a very good example because I just do it all. So there's the NFS server. It pulls in the LCFG layer, NFS server header file. But then I do some things that are just for my domain. I want for any NFS server that's on my domain, I just want it to have these options so that I can export. Right, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. That's way far too much. And to show you saw LCFG host status information earlier on. What I'm going to show you is LCFG status information for a real site, and it can be rather long. Yep, you get the picture. There is something that can collate that information, isn't there? You can compress it up. Or am I wrong? Is there a fold? With the top? Yes. Fold. The refresh. Oh, go away. And it just gives me, you can actually, for each of the resources, you can give a category that it lives in. So you've got dice machines and various things, and then you can, if I want to see all of Paul's machines, oh, didn't really have any. I want to see all our Beowulf, well, that didn't show us a Beowulf machine. Not a very, very good example. There must be some useful ones here. Well, all our Windows managed desktop machines, but that's not very useful because they're not really LCFG machines. They just happen to have LCFG profiles because we use LCFG for inventory information as well. That wasn't a very good example. Next slide. I'm going to not going to go into that in great detail. So an initial bootstrap plan. Now what I'm going to show you is very quickly. If you're wanting to use Core, what you want to do is you'd want to, all I'm going to explain is you've got a box at home or back at your base that you want to play around certain aspects of its configuration with LCFG. So you'd install FC6 on the box, or FC5 because you could, if you want to do it that way, download and install VM Player. Now what I've got is, I wrote all this because it was an outline plan. This is what I reckoned was about what you should do. And then I found various gotchas, which I'll document and distribute around later. Basically, it's still, say the instructions are correct, it's just there are some minor points. So one thing, obviously, when you're installing VM players, make sure you're installing all the GCC and kernel development tools that you need to start VM player. Copy the VM player image from your LCFG DVD to the box and start it. And in your LCFG VM player image, now create a site header structure, site specific header structure for yourself. Now you remember you saw my source scoby/defaults.h. So what you want to do is create one for yourself. Now I've done a very simple one for informatics. If I can get my mouse back, and I can remember which window it was. Right, it's this window here. So this is what you'd do inside the VM player that you've taken home. It includes, so I've created, you'd already have ed LCFG and local in the image. So what I've done is I've created an inf because our network here is actually called inf.ed.acuk. I've created this defaults.h. This is very similar to that scobies/defaults.h we showed earlier. But it's very, very, very much cut down. So basically, I've created my domain. I said what my LCFG server is. Now, what I'm intending is that the VM player image is going to act as my LCFG server for the host box. So what I'm intending to do is running the LCFG client component and any other components we want to run on the host box. So that would be in your domain, wherever you are. Following needs to be defined for baggage purposes, but aren't used unless it's a managed site. We're going to try and get rid of a lot of this stuff. We're still working on trying to pull out the insistence that it's a managed site. So there's the end of the macro definitions for QK. Then you pull in LCFG defaults. And then you might have some more local site cross-platform configuration here, but you wouldn't at this stage. So assuming you've created that, then create a profile for the machine that's hosting it. So the machine that's running this machine box here, this standard FC6 machine, is called LCFGDemo. And all I've done is I've included inf os minimal. And that inf os minimal will include inf flash os defaults, having specified it's a minimal operating system. So there's nothing really in this profile at the moment apart from the client component. But you could add the stuff that you were adding in today, you could add in at that level. So going back, so that gives you a compiled profile for your host box but on that machine, right? So what you then need to do is install the LCFG core RPMs, either from the LCFG DVD website, jumping ahead of myself here, either from the LCFG DVD or from, it's a pity this takes so long to do. Control-Alt. Or, as Stephen said earlier, you can do it from the download site here. Basically, what you can do is if you're running FC6 latest, you've got two lists here. You've got the core packages, and then which fit things like the client component, file component, and things like that. And then you've got a list of packages that are required by those components that we wouldn't normally produce. They come from elsewhere. So what you could do is these are just lists of RPMs. So what you can do is for both those lists, download those lists and then run wget on those lists and install those RPMs on your... Yeah? Oh, there are also instructions there to use yum. Yes, I'm... That's something that Stephen added on. Now, there are a few gotchas here. You then have... I want to be on LCFG demo. So you can see that I've downloaded those lists, and then I've done a wget, and I've put them in here. Those are the RPMs that were on that website. I've installed them already. No point in doing anything like that. Now, one of the gotchas is that the profile server, you can't specify to client component an IP address. You have to give a DNS name for some reason. And Paul's now looking puzzled. So, you have to work out your IP address of your server, the player image, and put some entry in etc/hosts that points to that. So we're using the VM player image by default. If you're running VM player, we tend to run it behind the NAT firewall, VM player's NAT firewall. And that happens to be 222.128, happens to be the address that it's running today on. That's obviously going to depend on your local site. And then what you do is, you should be able to fetch the profile from that server. So, oops. I should be able to use our LCFG components client install HTTP VM player. Well, I'll quickly try and work out what's wrong, but I'm not going to go into great details. No route to host. This is probably why I find that the address has been changed. What was it, 222.128? Alright, I'm not going to go into that, but you get the general idea that that's what you would do. And once you've done that, you can start the client component on your home base machine and play around with the resources, changing the resources under the VM player image, using that as your profile server. But what you can then do is once you've gone further, you can turn your waste machine into a profile server itself. Right, so that's, does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's just a quick, I'll run through of what you'd want to do that. A fully managed site plan. Now this is something I haven't done for a long time. So this is me sort of sketching out what I would expect people to do is if you're doing the prescriptive site, is to create an RPM repository somewhere. Use genhead file, which is a thing to create these, either use this RPM submit command or use genhead file to create these header files I was talking about earlier on. You'd probably want to set up an Apache server to distribute the RPMs around. You can get the headers, you've got the headers on the DVD at the moment, but you can sync them from rsync.lcfg.org to keep up to date. And you can also sync our RPMs, the LCFG level ones, not Fedora, from rsync.lcfg.org. So I would turn your FC6 blog into an LCFG server, as I was just explaining. You should then, in principle, just be able to burn install root to DVD, create a profile for the target machine with an operating system, saying it's FC6 or something like that. This is something that's not well documented at the moment, and we need to improve the documentation. You'd have to create a profile for install base, and then just install. It should be as simple as that. So, issues with big sites. Have we got time for this, or? Yeah, I've got 5 minutes. I think we've covered this one already. One of the problems we have at the moment with this technology is it's very hard to coordinate changes. Things like configuration files, the headers and the packages are distributed instantaneously via the profile. But the schema and the code is distributed in RPMs, and you don't know when the RPMs are going to, the RPM holding the schema file is going to hit the profile server, the RCFG profile server, and you don't know when your code for the component is going to hit the target machine. So that causes us some problems sometimes. I was trying to think of an example, but I can't think of any serious example. But one thing, if you change, for example, the meaning of a resource in something, and it's very difficult to schedule the meaning of a resource, because a machine, if you changed it to mean something different, and you change the code, you can't change the resource until the code's changed in all the target machines. And that could be, if the machines are down, it could be 2 weeks later. So, can anybody think of any real recent examples? No, I can't think of any. Yeah. So, one of the things we alleviate this to a certain extent is we do release management. Before we had release management, basically if you changed, as you saw there, if you changed anything in a header, the machine gets the data instantaneously. Which means if someone made a mistake in a header, then 1,000 machines could all be broken simultaneously, and it happened occasionally. The other problem is you didn't see any delays and serious delays in compiling your profile. If you've got 1,000, 1,500 machines, it does take some time to do that, and it takes probably about an hour and a bit to do that. So if someone's changed a header somewhere that's affected 1,500 machines, that means nobody else can do anything. They can't create a new machine, they can't change any individual machine's profiles, because all the profiles have been generated based on that header. So we moved over to having a release management system. Well, it was mainly Chris that coordinated this, which means we have a cycle of development for headers and package lists. So basically we've got a thing called develop, where machines in a develop release, it gets the thing, it gets all the configuration data live. If it's in what we have then created is we create a weekly testing release on a Monday, and it takes a snapshot of the configuration changes. It takes a snapshot of develop on the Monday morning. I'm doing this a bit simplistically. It's not a bit more complicated than this. That testing is then run for probably about 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And some machines get tested, people use them, installs are tested against that testing release, and then on the Thursday we then release that testing release, which has been snapshotted and hasn't changed. We then release that onto all the normal service machines that are normally set up to be stable. Which means that if you want to change something in a header, you can't do it. You've got to wait for the weekly stable release before it actually gets out there. Fortunately, we've got an escape mechanism. You saw this thing called live at the bottom. It was in one of the machine profiles. It said live. One of the header paths was live. So headers that are under there can be used to change resources live. But there's obviously potential for abuse there to get round the testing mechanism. And I think, as we explained earlier on, Paul explained earlier on, a security problem that anybody with write access to a particular machine's profile effectively can control the machine. There's no authorization on individual components or resources. It's all in one authentication domain. But you can have it set up, and we do have it set up in our own network, that individual owners of machines can manage their own machines, but they can, using our technology. I think that's probably all I was going to say.